So restarting on page 11 of lecture 5, we're talking about dependence, and the sort of what's new when the time series or when the series of observations are dependent is that extremes typically come in small clusters. And one thing you perhaps remember was that this often doesn't affect the block maxima method much. In the second to last bullet point on page 11, you see that typically the generalized extreme value distributions are the only possible limit distributions. And what also typically happens is that if you have long blocks, say months or quarters more, or years, then typically there's the dependence, it's not long range enough to make, say, different years dependent. And this means that even for dependent extremes, you can often use the block maxima methods as you could for IID variables or IID block maxima. But of course, as if with everything in statistics, assumption, you better check the assumptions. Is that correct? Does the block maxima seem to be independent of one another? However, so the block maxima method doesn't really change if there's dependence in the variables, but the peak zero threshold method does. And what you do, going to page 12 on lecture 5, here is a description of what happens with the peak zero threshold method for stationary time series. And what you have to do, which is what is new, is that the standard procedure right nowadays is that you decluster the data. You somehow try to identify IID clusters of large values. That's item number one. You decluster, and for that you must first identify the clusters. And I've listed three methods: the block method, the blocks runs method, and the runs method. And hopefully you've looked at those methods and know what they mean, and maybe used one of the methods. Typically, I would myself typically use the block runs method. Now, in point two, when you have the identify the clusters, then you also can estimate the extremal index. You can estimate theta by theta hat, which is just the number of clusters divided by the number of exceedances, because that is 1 over the expected number of expected cluster length. So you have to think through that. Theta is the 1 over the expected cluster length. And what's written here is 1 over the number of exceedances divided by the number of clusters, which is the natural estimate of the cluster lengths. And of course, the value of this depends completely on how you define clusters, how you identify clusters. Then to do the peak zero threshold, then what you do is to use the standard IID peak zero threshold models, but with excesses replaced by cluster maxima and exceedance times replaced by the times when cluster maxima occurs. And the reason this is okay and works is the fourth bullet point on page 11, that typically the tail of cluster maxima is approximately the same as the tail of f of x. This, which is a bit strange, but is true. And that's the reason that 3 on page 12 works. In a previous slide, I wrote down the formula for how you get the distribution of block maxima if you have fitted a peak soil threshold model, if you've estimated the parameters of a peak soil threshold model. Now, if you want to go the other way, if you want to get the distribution or the tail of the distribution of individual observations, well, then you just use the formula on page item 4 on page 12. That is the formula that the distribution function of the maximum is a distribution function of the variables themselves to the power theta n. Then if you have the distribution function on the left, if you know that, then you also know the distribution function on the right by just taking the power 1 over theta n on both sides. And then you can get estimates of daily var from the estimated distribution of block maxima. Again, this is maybe not fantastically important, but it's sometimes useful, and it also helps you to understand the methods better, and understanding is always important. Okay, so the final slide on the extreme value statistics part of the course on page 13 is what is very easily forgotten, which is very often forgotten, and which shouldn't be forgotten, is that if one does not understand the real world situation well enough, then the best quantitative tools will not help. The best extreme value statistics will not help. And here is the Taleb's turkey example. The 101 days in the life of a Thanksgiving turkey. You can see the turkey's well-being on the y-axis and time in days on the x-axis. And you can see how the well-being of the turkey just increases from day to day until on day 101. 1001 Thanksgiving comes and the turkey is slaughtered. So this is something one always has to remember and think about, and hopefully the best is to do it in a well-planned way and in a sort of formal way. What can happen which is not inside of the mathematical or statistical models? This is something reinsurance companies has started to learn. I think other financial institutions are behind. The reinsurance companies have sort of set down committees or groups who work with thinking outside of the box. What new things can happen which we have not seen in the data? How can we protect them against those? So again, if one does not understand the real-world situation well enough, the best quantitative tools will not help. Remember that, and when you do risk management, try to think outside of the box. What could happen which I haven't thought about? Okay, so this is the last thing I'll say in the extreme value statistics part of the course. I hope you've enjoyed at least parts of it, and I hope that at least some of you will find what you've learned useful and will use it in your future work. Thank you.